Hey, this is Fishin' Frank, and welcome to Radio Fishin'. I got Andrew Merriman, soon to be Captain Andrew. Andrew's going to be running one of the boats for us in the Fishin' Frank's fleet. And we're going to talk about the upcoming, what you're going to have to do over the next few weeks of this cooler weather. So what's up with the cooler weather, Andrew?
Well, the one thing I look forward to during the wintertime, and when everybody says the wintertime species are in, like the sheephead, the trout, but not only saltwater, the crappie and freshwater.
Okay, what do all these fish have in common? Why are you looking for these fish?
Because as it gets colder, they're going to start showing up more, the sheephead and the trout. They're going to start coming in and congregating, so to speak, on the docks or piers.
So what they do is they're looking to spawn. These fish are getting together, looking to do that big spawn, and when they start to spawn, they get in bigger bunches. During the rest of the year, they kind of scatter out, and they're just here and there, but it's ones and twos. But at this time of year, you're going to go and you're going to see a school of 50 or 100 or whatever fish.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite to target? You know, the crappie, the sheephead, what are you looking for?
Crappie always was a favorite. Living in Arcadia for a couple of years, because that was one of the big things that came with winter, not only the hunting, but going out and spec fishing and bass fishing.
Where's a good place to go for crappie right now, or over the next few weeks?
Best bet is Arcadia. Around here, I don't know enough spots. Here and there, canals.
Where do you give us a spot in Arcadia? Come on, turn one loose.
Right off Hog Bay Road, some of the private shell pits there, they've dug out, and they're upwards of 15, 20 feet deep and crystal clear. And that time of year, all you got to do is go out and drop a crawler or a minnow down, and you can fill up
the
cooler.
So you do pretty good on with crawlers out there, huh?
Yeah.
So, because I've been a minnow guy. I use minnows or I use jigs. I haven't really used crawlers on the crappies. So, what kind of jigs do you like to use for them?
I like the little, tiny 1/16 ounce gotchas. Either that or just a very small panfish hook. The number
six hook.
Yeah, number seven split shot, and drop that down for him.
Okay, now you use a bobber. I'm big on floats for crappies because I'm not usually fishing the bottom for them. I'm usually up in the mid depths closer, but I know some people do bottom fish for them. Which is your...
All depends on where we're at. If we're in some of the canals through Port Charlotte to where it's up to 5 or 6 feet deep, you want to stay somewhere in the middle of the water column, the small bobber, number six hook, minnow, crawler, the little trout baits that the Gulp sells.
Yeah, we have those. Those trout baits actually work pretty good on them.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I picked them up, was because not a lot of people know that you can keep some fake bait in your car with you. Doesn't go bad, and actually works pretty good on the crappie. It's thought of as a trout bait, but it actually kind of works both ways.
Yeah, in certain lakes out in Arcadia, we'd be able to take that stuff out and go all day catching them with those.
So, okay, we're going to kind of switch gears here and talk about a little bit of sheephead. If you were going to go sheephead fishing, how's the weather and tides and everything going to affect you?
It's got to get, sad to say, a little bit colder. As much as I love sunny and 75, it's got to drop down a little bit. It gets me bundled up like an Eskimo, but it also gets the fish piled up.
So, where's your... Give me a place. Where's a good place to go sheephead fishing?
My favorite is Eljo Bean Bridge. Not so, on the bridge, but taking the boat and anchoring up within casting distance of it.
All right. So how are you rigging up if you're casting at it?
Number five or number seven split shot. A number one or a number two small, stout, sharp J hook and fiddler crabs.
Okay. Now, see, one of the things I do is I take a... I'll take I can't remember the name, but it's kind of a bell-shaped sinker with a little hook on it. I go up to a three-way swivel, and I leave about a foot and a half between the weight and the three-way swivel. I bring my bait off about 10 inches on the same hook, but I'm using number four and number two. I usually use those gold mustads. They're not as sharp, but I just like those for sheephead. And right above the three-way swivel where I attach my line, immediately above the swivel, I put a little tiny bobber. And I'm using a heavy weight, like an ounce, ounce and a half, that will just drop that bobber down underwater. And what it allows it to do is that float will lift the three-way and the bait up and keep it off the bottom. The sinker holds me in place. and that little tiny, tiny bobber, just enough to hold the swivel and my bait up, and I'll fish about a foot and a half off the bottom with my bait trailing towards the pilings. It's an old trick. You know, you old guys use it. You know, you guys do it much more streamlined, where you can kind of just toss the bait over there and let it drift.
Well, there's been certain instances out there where we actually, with an incoming tide, were able to put the fenders out the side of the boat and actually let the boat drift into the pilings to the point where it was no longer casting. It was more like flipping for bass. You were letting out X amount of line, enough to get it down, a little bit of weight to keep it just under the surface around the pilings where the fish were at, and just flipping it off the side of the boat, dropping it down, and once you feel the tug, just sending them home.
Yeah, I always tell people, when you're going to go fishing for sheephead, start setting the hook right before you leave the house.
Yeah.
Because they are the most educated bait stealers in the world. They're actually amazing. But, okay, we've done this, you know, they've taken your suggestion. They're just putting the hook, the split shot, the fiddler crab, and they're letting it drift down along the pilings, and they've got 5 or 6 nice sheephead now. What's a good size sheephead?
5 and 6 pounds to me is big. There's been
Real big in a sheephead. Yeah,
there's been certain years where we've gone out and it got to the point where we were putting them in the live well and playing the who's got the biggest fish game and picking out the smaller ones out of live well and releasing them back in, because there was so many fish and there's such an abundance of them, and we were one after the other whacking them.
So one of the things about it, I like 14 inch sheephead is a nice size, because there's enough meat on them, and I'm a little lazy. I mean, you can keep them smaller than that and they're still very tasty, but I'm kind of a lazy guy. I take a old fashioned fish scaler and run it right down the spine of the fish, right along the dorsal line, and get rid of some of those bigger scales so I can get my knife through there. What's your technique for cleaning them?
The hard way.
Okay, what's the hard way?
Just starting at the gill plate, going straight back, and sharpening your knife multiple times while cleaning them, because they will dull a blade really quick. That's the only downside of it. I love cooking them, love eating them, love catching them, but the only thing I don't like about sheephead is running a knife through them.
Yeah, I go through and I'll take an old-fashioned fish scaler, those cheap little 99-cent scalers, and I peel some of the scales off along the backbone. And then I just slice down and work the meat off the skin from the top, working my way down. Because like you say, they're tough to clean. Once you get into it, it's not that bad, but they're really tasty. Now, you got a favorite recipe?
Broiling them. Putting them on a sheet pan and tin foil and olive oil, salt and pepper, and lemon with a little garlic, and broiling them for till they start flaking.
Yeah, it doesn't take long, because you know, they're not very thick. You can do it in a matter of minutes. But anyway, I haven't done them that way, but I'll have to try that. It actually sounds really good on the sheephead. So we've been talking, Andrew, a little bit about sheephead, and started off with a little crappie fishing. What's the best? What do you like? How do you like cooking crappie?
Bone in.
Bone in?
Cut the fillet off, scale them, deep fry them.
And you just deep fry them, skin and everything on?
Eat the meat off the bones.
Yeah, see, now I still fillet them. I take the meat, the bones, the skin, the bones, everything comes off, and I just fillet them.
Yeah.
The only fish I really don't fillet is bluegills if I'm camping, or freshwater trout. And those I'll just put a stick through the tail, hang them over the fire, and just cook them right over the fire. Scale them, leave the skin on and scale them. But yeah, so well, that's interesting. So you do bone and everything, pick the meat out of the bones, and they're one of the tastiest fish of all time. I would say the closest equivalent to that in saltwater is the sand bream. And sand bream's got a really nice flavor. It's very similar to crappie in the fight and the texture of the meat and everything. It's a very, very close one. And we'll come back and we'll get you back on and talk about some sand bream fishing and how to do those and how to cook and clean them. But, Andrew, sometime after the first of the year, the Coast Guard should be sending his license back, and we get a little training time and all that. But Andrew is going to be a captain for us, and we're getting his boat this week, getting it ready. So it's a pretty exciting time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell he's so excited. Anyway, this is Fishing Frank, and this is soon to be Captain Andrew Merriman. And we'll see you guys in the next edition of Radio Fishin'.